Hello, and welcome back to another Nugget of Truth. Now, today I know I'm going to be bursting many bubbles by saying this, but God's heart doesn't go pitter-patter when he thinks of you. Since we often associate love with a romantic type of love, you know, we may get to think he loves us in that way. But when we talk about God's love, we need to recognize that God's love for us is not a romanticized type of love. It is much, much deeper than that. I drive a 14-year-old car, but it rides like no other car I've ever had. And recently, while taking a ride into town, I said to my wife, "I love this car." And she quickly corrected me, and she said, "No, you like your car, and you love me." She reminded me that I can be very casual about the word love. See, many of us throw around the word love without thinking about what we're really saying. If I say I love you, the phrase means different things to different people. If I say it to my wife, Dee, she knows that I'm speaking in a romantic sense. If I say it to my children, they know I mean it as a parent. And if I speak to my closest friend, Frank, he would understand that I mean it as a brother. Now, this poses an important question for us. The Bible is filled with God's expressions of love for us. The question is, what does God mean when he says that he loves us? And then, how are we supposed to exhibit his kind of love in our lives? As we've said in the last post, the New King James Version of the Bible uses the word love 230 times. In the original Greek language, there are at least four words for love, and each is translated as the word love in English. And the first is the word eros, which is a romantically based kind of love. The second is the word storge, which is family-based, relationship, relatives, etc. The third is philia, which is friendship-based. And then the fourth is agape, which is unconditional. It's based upon a decision to love. I like to say living your life for someone else's good. Now notice the first three definitions or the first three words are connected to very strong emotions or feelings. Eros, for instance, is romantic, passionate love, the feelings between a man and a woman. Storge type of love is that feeling that blood is thicker than water, or that family kind of love that we have for those that are close relatives. And then filial love is that feeling that you have towards your BFF, your best friend forever. But agape, on the other hand, is not based upon a feeling or an emotion. It is the love of decision or a commitment. Agape love is a decision to love. Now, we often hear of people who fall in love and then fall out of love. So many marriages and relationships are based solely on eros or a romantic type of love. A relationship that's based on eros alone will not last. What must follow eros is agape. Agape is the decision to love, to live sacrificially for someone else. A conscious decision to live your life for that person's good. So, what are the characteristics? How do I recognize agape love? Well, we can find the answer in the love chapter of the Bible, and that's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And it says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. Love thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails." As you can see, these traits probably don't come naturally to us. In the natural, we tend to bestow our love on those we feel deserve it. It's easy to love the lovable, and so hard to feel love towards those that we decide don't deserve our love. But let's take the time to examine the love verses in more detail. And let's see how we stack up to agape kind of love. We're going to break it up into 6 points. The first point is that love suffers long or is patient and is kind. So the question is, are you patient for long or do you have a short fuse? Are you caring, compassionate, and gentle while being patient? Number two says, love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. And the question is, do you resent others who have what you don't have? Do you pretend to love in order to impress others? Number three, love is not puffed up or proud and haughty. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. In other words, do we see ourselves as better or more deserving than others? Four, love thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. You see, love will back away from sin or evil. Love will be disturbed by injustice or immorality. Five, but love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You see, agape love always sees the cup as half full and not half empty. Agape love always wishes the positive and not the negative. And six, love never fails. And love, at least agape type of love, never fails because it's not based on what I can get from someone else. Whether they show love to me or not, I still choose to love them. That's living your life for someone else's good. That's agape love. The kind of love God extended to you by sending Jesus for you when you were still a sinner and rejecting him. Romans 5:8 says that. You see, he looked at your potential rather than who you were at that particular moment. In deciding to love others, you put in motion an important principle in God. And that is that what you sow, you will eventually reap. That's Galatians 6:7. But that principle only works when you take the first step in faith. As the Holy Spirit leads you to make conscious decisions to put on agape love, I want you to remember that as a believer, the Holy Spirit does live inside of you. And if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, then the fruit of the Holy Spirit lives in you as well. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 says, the very first fruit of the Holy Spirit, the predominant fruit, is love. Agape love is in you. So I encourage you to let it out. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time.